Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
In 1 Samuel chapter 9, let's start in chapter 9. In verse 1, we're going to just read here, verse 1 and 2. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becheroth. God bless you. The son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome young man. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. Man. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So now I want to go over to verse 17. Watch this. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me, where is the seer's house?" And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, don't be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house?" And Saul answered and said, so here he's telling him basically, you're going to be king, right? I mean, this is what he's basically telling him. And Saul's looking at himself like, what? Are you kidding me? He says, and Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of that smallest tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me?" So here he's being told this, and he's thinking, he didn't automatically think, well, yeah, well, of course it would be me. I'm the most handsome child in Israel, right? He's not thinking like that. He's thinking, me? And I love that. You really want to meditate on it and think about that, because in the natural, it seems some very natural things. He had very good reason to think, well, yeah, you know, I am a good choice, right? But he's saying, I'm just from the smallest tribe of Benjamin here. I mean, why do you speak like this to me? So we see, although Saul was wealthy and he was the most handsome man in all of Israel, he was also one of the most humble. And it's interesting. It's like somehow God knew that he could choose him. Yeah, he was the most handsome, but he had quite a bit of humility that he'd be able to take on the task, I believe, that the Lord was asking. And who knows, we know that in this day and age, that's a very rare combination, you know, wealthy, you know, good looking and humble yet at the same time. You know, those usually don't seem to go together, right, out in the world. But here it was true. Let's go now to 1 Samuel. Now go over to chapter 10 in verse 24. Let's see what happens here. Verse 24 through 27 we're going to read. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people?" So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in the book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. And I believe here he held his peace because he wasn't concerned about what man thought about him. Yes, some of the people were with him, the ones who God touched their hearts, and they were with him. They were for him to be king. But then there were others that we see that they despised him. They said, "How can this man save us?" But he wasn't concerned about what man said. He followed what God said through the prophet Samuel. This is what God was saying. You're king. And he wasn't concerned about it. Amen. And who knows, so many times us in life, we get so concerned and get caught up with what people think or what people say What matters the most is what God says and what God thinks. Amen. And in here, I mean, it's thank God Saul listened to what God said and didn't allow what the people, some of those people thought of him, to stop him. He held his peace. He held his peace. Humility doesn't try to straighten people out. Has anybody ever, boy, you wanted to just straighten somebody out? Well, humility won't try to straighten people out. They just trust God with that. God touches hearts and God opens the eyes. And we have to trust God. You know, and Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. See, Jesus looked to the Father. You've given them, they're going to come to me. And they did, didn't they? The people came to Jesus. Humility can hold its peace. It can keep quiet when people speak insulting things. And that's something that we sow as a body of believers in this day and age. We want to grow in that. We want to be so good at that. Because people will always, they'll speak insulting things to your face and even more behind your back and you find out about it. We just can't take those things personally when people do that. Humility won't. It can hold its peace. It can keep quiet, knowing what God thinks about me. Saul started out seeing himself as small, like we had read. He saw himself small. But then after leading Israel through several miraculous victories that we're going to look at here really quick, he began to think more highly of himself than he should have. And that was his downfall. Watch this. Here's an example. Samuel gives Saul instructions. Watch this. And so 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. Here's Samuel the prophet, and he is giving Saul instructions concerning a battle. He says, you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. See, so this is Samuel telling Saul that he's going to come down and he's going to make these sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. All right? Now watch this. Saul didn't follow these instructions, unfortunately. During a battle with the Philistines, something changed in Saul. Let's look. Flip over to chapter 13. Let's see what happened. Okay, we're going to read here starting in verse 6. Okay, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, so here they're in the middle of the battle, right? And so remember, Samuel just gave the instructions to Saul what to do, to wait. He'll bring the sacrifice. He'll do that. Okay, so here they are. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Ooh. Now it happened as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering that Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. Do you see what just happened there? He didn't follow the instructions. And look, he just didn't want to wait anymore. He was getting scared for his life. If pride will cause fear. And all of a sudden, he went and offered. I mean, he got out of his place. That was for the prophet to bring that sacrifice and do that. And here he did this. He was not supposed to do this, to burn that offering. But he did. And it's just so interesting. Now, as soon as he had finished offering that burnt offering, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. He followed his compulsion instead of what God, the instructions of what God told him. God very specifically told him in that day through the prophet, God spoke to him and told him exactly what to do. And he didn't do it. Why? He felt compelled. He felt compelled. He feared for his life. And he felt compelled. In fear, or you can say in pride, he began thinking he needed to protect and to save himself. And this caused him to absolutely disregard God's word given by Samuel. I mean, can you imagine that? The prophet Samuel specifically gave him a word, told him exactly what to do, and he absolutely just disregarded that whole word of what the prophet said because he felt compelled. Humility seeks to follow and to please God's heart always, no matter what. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, humility always seeks to follow God's heart and to obey God's word. So Saul began doing more and more foolish things. I mean, who knows? That was pretty foolish. That was pretty foolish. Well, he did some more. Let's continue to learn from him. And you know, pride seems smart to itself, right? Because who knows? Pride, when you're in pride, you're blinded. You don't even know you're in pride. I mean, that's why pride is so dangerous. Because when you're in pride, you don't even know you're in pride. So guess what? You need someone else. Or you need God's word. You get in the Bible, you get in here, and you start feeling that prickling and that convicting of the Holy Spirit through his mighty, holy, written word. And you're knowing he's speaking to you, and that's pride, you know? Or sometimes maybe it's a preacher's preaching, speaking God's word, but it's always God's word. And it will convict us, and it will help us and shine light where it's not right. Amen. But it's true. Pride seems smart to itself. And then, who knows, pride likes pals. You know, I mean, we've seen it. Some people get in pride, and then they start gathering with some pals. You know, it's the prideful pal bunch. You know, and then it's like they all see it the same way. The wrong way. The pride way. Through pride's eyes, they just believe the lies. Stick with the faith bunch, not the pride pals. Because pride always thinks it's right because it's blinded from the light. And so, I mean, I'm just saying, even all of us here today, we think, well, I'm not in pride, you know? And maybe you're not, but maybe you are. And you're not going to know yourself if you are, because pride believes lies about itself and it doesn't know it's in pride. So it needs light. Amen. All right. So anyway, here's another example of Saul's pride. Very clear instructions once again given by the prophet. Chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. Verse 1 through 3, let's read them. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he laid wait for him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy," notice that, "utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Those were the instructions from the prophet. Those were the words of God. Let's see what Saul did. Verse 9. Skip down to verse 9. We're going to read verse 9 here. And again, like I said later, you go in here and read the whole story, but we're just able to just point out some of these highlights here. But Saul and the people spared. Saul and the people spared. What did we just read? Destroy everything. Utterly destroy. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen and fatlings, the lambs and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Look at this pride. God spoke to them and told them what to do, to utterly destroy, and they were unwilling to destroy it all. It's such pride. They thought what they felt about the situation was better than what God said. How blinded in pride. Look at Samuel's response. Jump down to verse 17. So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, Were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Wow. I love that. When you were little in your own eyes. There was a time when Saul, King Saul, was little in his own eyes. He wasn't looking to be anything big. He was little. And God made him big. God took him out and made him big. It was God's anointing upon him that made him big, that crowned him king. It was the anointing. When he was small in his own eyes, God made him tall. When we are small in our own eyes, we will always be big in God's eyes. And isn't that what, I mean, that is what we want. We want to be big in God's eyes. But we cannot be big in our own eyes and at the same time be big in God's eyes. We can't do it. We want to be small in our own eyes. And that, when we are small in our own eyes, that's when we are big in God's eyes. When we're big in our eyes, we make ourselves very, very small. And so here, Saul failed to remember that it was the anointing. Everybody say the anointing. It was the anointing that made him great and not himself. It was the anointing. So here, it's like we learn from his life here in these few parts that we've read here. And it's like when he was anointed, he could have done this thing. He could have done it so great. But pride got in. And he didn't continue to follow the Lord. All of a sudden, he started thinking he was so great that he actually knew more than the prophet. And who knows, it wasn't true. He messed up big time. Like Saul, we will begin to take matters into our own hands when we are in pride. So we can always check up on ourselves on that. Who knows? We've all been there, done that at times. All of a sudden, you feel like you got to take matters into your own hands. It's pride. It's pride. Now, God might lead you to address some matters and things, but it's not in and of yourself. We follow the Lord. Let's always follow his instructions, his directions, what he's saying, and always knowing it's not us, but it's his anointing upon us that will help get the job done. And it's interesting, I think of this, you know, Pastor has shared with me numerous times, sometimes when he's had meetings with different people throughout the years, and when he knew someone was lying to him, right, honey? That fire, that fire would come on his head, and it was just that anointing, and it was just this strength, this knowing that he could say, I know you're lying. Whether he spoke those words, I don't really know, but just the anointing on him to be who he was to that person to try and help them. It's the anointing. I don't want to, and I know you don't want to, fail to remember that it's the anointing of God upon our lives. Anything good about us, it's God. Anything good about us came from God. All good things come from God. And we have many different talented people with all sorts of skills, right? Even in this congregation here, all throughout the body of Christ. But we have to watch it, that it's the anointing that makes you great in that. And it's not you. We want to always remember it's God. It's his ability. It's his supernatural ability. It's his anointing on me. Concerning pride, here's something that pride says, following God's instructions aren't as important as following what I think. That's basically what he did. I mean, that's what pride said. That's what Saul was saying. Following God's instructions aren't as important as following what I think I should do. Like as if God didn't recognize the situation. God knew what was happening. So then Saul, as if it's not worse, I mean, it gets even worse. Watch verse 20 and 21. Let's read those in the same chapter. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Wow. So now there's so much in there, but he's blaming his actions on everyone else but himself. He's saying, like, they did it. No, he allowed them to do it. Pride finds it hard to take responsibility for its actions. You know, sometimes you just want to find, especially great leaders, you want to take responsibility for your actions. And that's why we want to walk in love, walk in the light, and be right. Because we need to constantly be taking responsibility for our actions, knowing that others are there learning from us, listening, and gleaming from us, you know? And I just think of different situations through the years, you know, different ones that I saw, and, you know, this, learning from the mistakes, you know? And it's just like, because pride doesn't want to admit it's wrong. Pride doesn't want to let someone think they're not as great as they think they are, right? But sometimes you gotta walk in the light. So pride finds it hard to take responsibility for its actions. Proverbs 20, verse 6, listen to what it says there. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Isn't that true? He blamed the people. He feared the people. He feared those people more than he feared God. And how many times do we see that in life? I mean, again, just, you know, all the years of pastoring and just seeing different ones, just the mistakes made, and you try and help people, you want to, but of course, you can't tell them what to do, you know, but just different ones in different situations, just fearing that person, fearing that family member and what they're going to think or how they might react to maybe something that you're going to do, like you're actually going to go to church when they came to visit or something. You know, just all sorts of things. You're fearing man. And you're putting man over God. We want to fear God. People get all concerned. You know, you see it through the holidays and, you know, people coming and company. Oh, well, I'm having company and you know, I can't leave them home. Or yes, you can. Or they can come to church with you. You know, I know sometimes it's really a tilt for people, but what are we saying? We want to always be a good example, right? And if you're having family come in, well, they just need to know who are you, who you are. And I go to church on Sunday mornings. Christmas Eve? No Christmas Eve. I mean, I'll start cooking when I get home, sweetie, but I'm going to church. Oh, well, I don't want to offend them. But you're offending God. And we don't want to offend God. Something we all need to watch out for all the time in all our decision making. It's important. You need God more than you need that family member, sir. Yes, you do. So he blamed the people. He feared the people. But humility fears God. But pride fears man. So who are we? We are humble people. And we choose to fear God. Amen? Amen. In 1 Peter, so that's it with that 1 Samuel. Just want to, like I said, read through that. It is just so good, and it'll even help you even more. But again, just wanted to highlight some of that learning from the life of King Saul. And it, you know, it got worse, and obviously it didn't end good for him at all. But anyway, so let's learn from him so it doesn't have to end bad for us, right? We learn from these people's mistakes, and we sure don't want to be like, how could they have done that? That idiot! Like, no! We've been idiots too! That's why God knew we were such idiots. We need a book full of some idiots at times that made idiotic mistakes so we wouldn't do the same thing. I mean, come on, I know, I've read some of this stuff. I'm like, you idiot! You just, and you're gonna again? It's like, and then, you know, if we'll just stay open to the Lord and the Holy Ghost, he'll show you, Gene, well, look, you did da-da, and then, you know, and then you did da-da. Oh, yeah. Yeah, idiot, yeah. Repent, blood of Jesus, go on, amen? So humility is a good thing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we won't turn there, verse 5, remember that scripture, be clothed with humility. We are exhorted to be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I love that, be clothed with humility. Just get it all over you. Get it all over you. How can we get humility all over us? Well, get in the book that is full of humility. I mean, our God is a humble God. And I mean, Jesus, you know, look in humility, how he came and what he did. I mean, he is humility with two legs on this earth when he came, you know, and he was able to do it. And by his strength and by his power, we can do it too. But we get in the word is just humility. And then, you know, sometimes, and there's been times in my life where different things, I've just kind of felt like I needed, you know, extra help in a certain area, you know? And so like this, maybe some people might think, well, I need some extra help in this area, you know? And if you feel like you need extra help, well, then find certain scriptures and feed yourself on scriptures concerning humility, you know, or any area of our life. You know, whenever we're going, when you're going through something and there's just a certain spot that just seems, you just need like an extra dose, you know, look up the scriptures concerning that situation. Get scriptures and feed. Remember, we feed on God's word. We're not just reading God's word. We are feeding on God's word. And as I feed, like if we, as we feed on scriptures concerning humility, that's getting in me. That's becoming a part of me. Amen. So be clothed with humility. Just get it all over you. Get it in you. Hallelujah. And resist pride. And we want to not even let it get near us. And let's face it, abiding in him is the safe place. Because there's no pride in him. So abiding in him is the answer. But like I said, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's kind of like, you know, those negative and positive magnets, right? When it's two positives, right? What happens? They resist each other. I mean, you can try all you want. It's not like this one magnet saying to the other magnet, well, I'm not going to come near you. I resist you. That's what happens. It's impossible. It's impossible. And so I kind of, when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, here, God, he's the big one. He's the big daddy. You know, he's the positive one. And look at us in all our pride of the flesh. Sometimes we think, well, we're the big positive one too. And there's no bucking against God. You know, we're the negative. He's the positive. We're the negative. And that's when grace comes, right? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That brings us together. We're with God. But it's that resisting. It's that, when God's resisting us, it's not like he's saying, I'm going to have nothing to do with you. I'm just trying to show you that's like these two magnets. It's like, it's not like he's pushing you away. It's like, it's just, that's just what happens. If you exalt yourself or lift yourself up, then you're going to have to be the one to keep yourself up. God told me that earlier. I'm like, well, and I'm just going to let him be the one to lift me up, because then it's up to him to keep me up. Romans chapter 12 in the New Living Translation. We're going to read chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Man, the flesh don't like this. The flesh doesn't want to be honest in its evaluation of itself. The flesh wants to appear wonderful and great and perfect, right? Flawless. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That is so good. But let's go back. Don't think better than you really are. And we think, well, I am good. Well, we're in and of ourselves, we are filthy rags, right? So yeah, we are good, but it's God in us who's good. It's God in us who is great. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. And I find it interesting. I'm up here preaching this morning because I think it was Sunday. I don't remember. I think it was Sunday, but we were praying. But I remember I was encouraging everyone, don't be afraid. You know, we all go through times of correction and of adjusting. I mean, let's face it. If we're not constantly, remember the car, your hand on the wheel? If you're not constantly adjusting that wheel, if you're just straight and going, you're going to go off the road. You're going to have a crash. There's that constant adjustment. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with my car because I have to adjust the wheel. There's nothing wrong with you just because you need to be adjusted. And that has brought such peace to me at times because I know it's hard to believe. But I've needed to be adjusted. I know, I knew you wouldn't even believe it, but it's true. It's really true. But we got to be okay with that. That it's not something wrong with me. And because who knows, all of a sudden we get defensive. You know, all of a sudden that defense, just you feel that defense inside just jump up. Back off. Right? But we want to be honest. We want to be honest with the evaluation of ourselves. So anyway, so I was saying, the other day when we were praying, I just was encouraging because we go through these different times and, you know, there's just those times where we need adjustments. And so let's not be afraid to see something that's wrong as long as we're not going to stop there and be like, woe is me, look at me, I'm a mess, I'm terrible and blah, blah, blah. But we see it and then we look to the Lord, we look to the power of the Holy Spirit to help us make the adjustments. It doesn't have to stay that way. Amen. You guys, you are great. God in you is great. We are amazing. We are an amazing bunch of people in God. He has given us such abilities. He has given us such anointings. And together as a team, we do this thing. It's no island to yourselves. And there's only so much you can do. You know, people think, well, I've got a gift. And they're going to go somewhere else to try and use their gift. You're wrong. You stay connected. You stay connected to the body and your gift's going to flow, but you're running to and forth trying for somebody to know that I've got a gift, right? God knows you got a gift, sweetie. It's going to be okay. Listen, there have been times that I have grown so much. I mean, thank God for a pastor like him, because God knew I needed one like him, because I don't even know where I'd be. I'd be a mess. I'd be this prophetic princess thinking I could never miss it, and I have a word. I mean, it would be so bad. Seriously. I don't know where I was going with that. I got lost on prophetic princess. I kind of like the sound of it. Sounded kind of, I don't know. I seriously lost where I was. What was I saying? Do you know? Huh? Yeah, a great pastor. He remembered that. A great pastor. That's all he heard. But see, yeah, I remember now. But seriously, I needed that because, you know, again, I feel like there were times even, I mean, I'm talking years back, like even in the upper room days, you know, those of you that were here back at the upper room, you know, like I would have this fire in my hands, you know, and I'd be like, oh, I've got something. I'd look at him, I'm like, I've got it. I've got something. And he's like, well, what do you have? I'm like, I don't know, but I've got something, you know? Every time I thought I had something, I mean, I very tangibly, and not everybody has this, and that's okay. Different giftings, different anointings, different graces. But with me, what I learned was just because I had something didn't mean I was necessarily supposed to give something. We're always all supposed to have something. Corinthians is very clear about that. You know, and then I've learned, you know, because that anointing, it just as I yielded, that anointing would be flowing through me. I'd had fire in my hands and I'd think, well, of course, if you have fire in your hands, you got to put it on somebody, right? No, not necessarily, you know, and sometimes it was just, and I've learned through the years, sometimes it's just allowing that presence of God in me, that anointing in me that I'm sensing, rather than thinking, well, I need to get up behind the pulpit and preach and minister. You know, not that pastor. Get him down. It's me, you know. I'm the one who has it. No, sit down there, baby, and release that anointing and let it come out of you. And I've seen it. There's been times I'll just release that presence, that glory into the room. Does that make sense to you? I mean, it really is true, and I've learned that. You know, so just because we always have something doesn't mean we necessarily give it to. You know, again, because, you know, pride just kind of thinks too much about itself. And so there's things to learn just concerning the giftings and things as well. But I guess that's for another time. So notice that God has given each of us the ability. It's not all your hard work. And thank God, different, you know, ones, you, a lot of practice, maybe with the music team, you know, really practicing. I mean, God expects diligence. With gifts that he has given us, he expects us to diligently, you know, be thanking him for that, growing in those gifts, you know, expanding on those gifts and things, getting the most out of it. But we can never forget that it's him who gave the ability. It's him who's given the ability. We have seen the ability of God come upon people. I mean, Pastor and I, through our years of ministry here, we've seen the ability of God literally come upon people, and then when they left, come off of them and go on to somebody else. We've never been without. Never been without. Just like Saul and David. I mean, that happened with them. But we've seen it, you know, just different ones. Just a major ability. Wow, this one had such an anointing, such an ability to do a certain thing. And when they left, the ability didn't leave with them. The ability stayed. So it was God's ability, God's anointing. And it came upon somebody else. And that's why, you know, just different ones, they're always, you know, we always want to keep ourselves so in check, especially those of us maybe that are more seen and more used by God, maybe before the people and things, you know, realizing that it's God's ability, and it is nothing in and of ourselves. We are a disaster in and of by ourselves. But it's the ability, it's the anointing of God. And, you know, there's really, I feel like, and you don't hear much about it, but I feel like there's such a truth to this, and that is, like, and all different churches have all different calls and visions and things that the Lord calls them to do, you know? And I feel like with our church, there's certain things that we are called to do, you know, as a body, to come together. Not to try and find our separate things, to come together and to do this mighty work. You know, it's like this mighty tree, and the Lord tries to branch all these, like, you know, I think of Brandon and Senta, you know, with Freedom Over Addiction. They've got their own ministry, but yet it's not their own ministry, but yet in a way it is. They're the leaders of it, you know, and I think of Brooklawn, you know, Spiritus, you know, and just the different, and there's other ministries, guys. We're not the ones that are supposed to come up here and say, I don't know why I'm getting off on this. We're not the ones who are supposed to get up here and be like, okay, well, we want to start some new ministries now. That's not our job. You know, and different ones have come at different times. You know, oh, my heart's burning for this or burning for that. You know, and you have to trust God through your pastor that he's going to know if it's time or if it's not time or if it's right or not right. But you got to at least come to us. We believe there's numerous more ministries, outreaches. But see, we can't do it all. I mean, if anything, you know, golly jeepers, pastor's plate needs to be cleared. I mean, we just need someone to hire him full time just to answer the texts. But once you think it's your ability, then you're no longer in humility and will begin to lose that ability. Grace, like water, always flows to the lower places. So listen to what humility is. One definition I found: a modest opinion of one's own importance. What? Yes, a modest opinion of one's own importance. A modest opinion. So again, we're not supposed to think we're the, well, you know, I'm humble, so I'm a wretched mess up. Well, no, I am awesome. I God in me. You know, it's just always the emphasis is God. Humility can be bold. Humility is not just this timidity. Humility can be bold, but it's bold in God. Its focus is God, not itself. Watch this. Pride, definition for it, is self-importance. Here's some synonyms: self-admiration, self-confidence, self-glorification, self-trust, self-exaltation. Self, 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 self. Meanwhile, self-admiration, we're to be admiring God. Self-confidence, our confidence isn't supposed to be in ourselves. Our confidence is supposed to be in God. Self-glorification, we're not bringing glory to ourselves. We're to be bringing glory to God. Self-trust, we're not to be trusting in ourselves. We're to be trusting in God. Self-exaltation, no way. We are to be exalting God, right? Humility is the opposite of all of those things. It's all God, 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 God. Here was another synonym for pride. Big-headedness. Big-headedness. Some of you don't look happy on that. Have you been told you had a big head sometimes? Well, listen, when people start to compliment your gifting, don't take it personally, as if they're complimenting you. It's not you that's so great. It's the gift in you that's so great. A big-headed person is not God-minded. His head is too inflated to fit God. The complimenting part is just really so important. And people, I mean, they don't mean to, they're not looking to make you stumble. They're not out to get you, you know. But the enemy would want to take as much opportunity as he can, you know, when a compliment comes, you know. It's like, no, it's not about me. It's about the God in me. It's about the gift in me. And God puts his gifts in us not to bring glory to ourselves, but he puts his gifts in us to bring glory to him. And so who knows, this isn't like a once in a time deal. This is an everyday life. Staying humble. Resisting pride. Who knows? We don't know it all. You know? And that other, you know, this comes to me right now. There's always two sides to a story. It's like you just, oh, you know what's going to happen. You know? Well, maybe you don't know what's going to happen. It's just in pride, you think you know the whole situation, you know? And no. You know, many times we don't know the whole situation. And in my life, I know there's certain situations that I've been in, and in pride, I thought, ta-da-da, but it was to-da-do. But when I was in pride, it was ta-da-da. No questions asked. I knew it for certain. But when I found out it was to-do, I thought, whoa, that's not good. I mean, has anyone ever been there, right? You've been wrong. And so it's like we want to so learn from that because, I mean, we know what it feels like when we know that we felt we were so right and then we found out we were wrong. We want to learn from that and realize, no, I need God's humility. I'm going to stay in humility. I don't know everything. I'm going to look to God, and he's going to show me. He's going to reveal to me. He's going to lead me and guide me in this situation. I'm not going to be presumptuous. That was the word I was looking for, presumptuous. And we don't want to be that either. Amen? We want to be humble. Humble. Amen.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.